drag out the book that looked the oldest. Darn, that thing was heavy. Once I got it open, I found that the pages were real stubborn about tearing. They were not paper at all, which never has been very common. I could tear them only one at a time. Which maybe explained why Subradiel just grabbed whatever came easiest. She would not have time to pick and choose. I worried that I had been away too long myself, convinced that Barundandi or his wife must have noticed that I was missing. I hoped it did not occur to them to wonder why Subradiel was not making a scene because she had lost track of me. Even so, I continued to tear pages until I had all I thought the three of us could carry away. I hid everything in an unusual room, not far from the service postern, uncertain how we would recover it heading out. Then took myself way down inside Sawa, almost to the point of incapacitating confusion. They found me dirty and tear-stained, and still trying to find the way back to the meeting chamber. They being some of the other day workers. In moments, I was reunited with Subradiel and Shikandini. I clung to my sister-in-law like a wood chip desperate to shed the embrace of a rushing flood. Jarl Barundandi was not happy.
"Men Subradiel, I accepted this woman here for your sake, out of kindness and charity. But lapses of this sort are not acceptable. No work got done while we were searching."
His voice trailed off. The Radisha and the Protector were headed our way, following a most unusual route. This was backstairs country, which meant nothing whatsoever to Soulcatcher, of course. That woman had no sense of class or caste. There was the Protector, and beneath the Protector, there was everyone else. Sawa just sort of folded up and squatted with her face in her lap. Subradiel and Shikandini and Jarl Barundandi partially tried to get out of the way, partially gawked. Shiki had not seen either woman before. Sawa crossed her fingers out of sight in her lap. Subradiel whispered prayers to Gangisha. Jarl Barundandi shivered in terror. Shikandini stared with a teen's inability to feel appropriate fear. The Radisha paid us no heed. She stamped past, talking about ripping the guts out of Bodhi disciples. Her voice contained almost no emotional conviction. The Protector, though, slowed down and considered us all intently. For an instant, I found myself almost overcome by the dread that she really could read minds. Then she went on, and Jarl Barundandi ran along behind, forgetting us and Narita both, because the Radisha barked some command back his way. Sawa rose and whimpered.
"I want to go home."
Subradiel agreed that it was enough of a day. Neither the Greys nor the Royal Guards were searching anyone. A good thing, too. I carried so much paper in my small clothes, I could fake a normal walk for only a few dozen yards. Chapter 29. I got through my part of the evening meeting quickly and ran off to my own little corner so I could compare my newly acquired pages with those of the book I had stolen from the library that I thought was an exact copy, if not the genuine original, of the true first volume of the Annals of the Black Company. I was so cheerful, I am sure One Eye must have had great fun talking about me behind my back. It did not occur to me to stick around to see how our temptation of Chandra Gokhale played out. The story I got later was